This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 546. I am Brian Kilby, back from the dead, more or less. Thank you, Chris, for hosting last week. Thank you,
Jason. I was great.
You were great. Thank you, Jason, for producing. You were great as well. And thank you guys for being here. And I was asleep. Yeah, I wasn't that sick. I was just run down. I'm like, I just don't really feel like doing this. So
I was just going by what was in the email.
That nap was nice. And I emailed the right Eric. That was just his old email address.
Well, then it still doesn't count, does it?
No, it doesn't. So,
and it made last week's show a lot funnier when I said that you emailed the wrong person.
This is true. I just had to get that in. So, hey, a happy American Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Everybody on this show is American. So happy happy Thanksgiving to y'all. And Max, please, I'm not wishing you a happy Thanksgiving yet. That'll be tomorrow. Yeah, so people out there listening, hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And if you're not in the U.S., I hope you, put up with all the Thanksgiving pictures of turkeys and stuff that people put on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, to quote from the show notes. For America, it was Thanksgiving. For the rest of the world,
it was Tuesday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Happy day before you put the bird in your mouth.
Yeah. Hey, so reminder to everybody, the last night before Christmas, which is this year's version of Operation Beehive, which is our yearly toy drive that we where we try to push you guys to give Transformers toys, the Toys for Tots, or whoever collects toys for unfortunate kids, needy kids. So I just noticed the last couple days that Toys for Tots, they have started putting out their boxes here. So I'm assuming wherever you're at, you can also start donating toys. Now, the cool thing about the wife was asking me about this last night, and I'll try to explain it to you better than I explained it to her. So, yeah, I mean, there's some selfish motivation here, but there are always Transformers toys that are going to be old and shelf warming out there that you just want to get rid of. Typically it's wave one, maybe wave two. Titans Return, there's a lot of wave one toys again out on the shelf. So why don't you just buy up those toys, throw them in a Toys for Tots box, help a kid out, and then help yourself out by clearing off the shelf so you can get Power of the Primes. That's win-win.
I recommend some The Last Night Grimlocks also.
Yeah.
And also, Brian, to make it easier for everybody, you can either use, of course, you can use our Amazon link to go to Amazon, take advantage of whatever deals they're going to have for Black Friday.
I know. Yes. But, I appreciate the thought.
Yeah, but also
it's not self-promotion, though. I just want to get that across.
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to be at Amazon for other stuff and you see something really cheap on their Black Friday.
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
But also Target through this weekend, through Saturday.
Yes.
Buy one, get one 50% off on Transformers.
That's a great deal.
I think it's actually, isn't it all their toys? Figures?
Well, I know it's Transformers, Minecraft, Imaginex, but I don't remember. It's like six on the placard, but I can't remember the other three toys. But they do have buy one, get one 50% off. So if you do go to a Target and they do have Power of the Primes and they can find them in the back room, then, at least you could get you a new Power of the Prime and maybe get a wave one. Cause my Target restocked with all Quakes and one
too.
Croc.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird on how they go, but I mean, that way you get your Power of the Prime and a kid gets a pretty awesome Quake because that's a really good repaint of that Hardhead toy.
So I'm not encouraging
a good toy.
Yeah, he is a good toy. I'm not encouraging people to use our Amazon link. I appreciate that, Don. But I was really close to using Ben Yee's link for that because he posted yesterday or the day before that Titans Return 6 shot is like $20 on Amazon right now. And I'm going to pick up one or two of those to drop in a Toys for Tots box.
Yeah.
So that's a great toy.
I was just thinking, if you were already there and saw something super cheap while you were there, instead of having to back out and do it separately.
I'm half thinking about putting my $40 Ollie's Fortress Maximus in the Toys for Tots box.
But there won't be any room for anything else then, Brian.
This is true. Yeah.
What's Can you imagine being that one kid that got the Fortress Maximus and everyone else got like a deluxe figure?
Yeah.
I hope that poor kid doesn't have siblings. They will suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just setting up strife here, Kilby. So Toys for Tots does have a deadline for collection. That's usually about a week before Christmas.
A week or two. I don't remember offhand. I researched it last year. But if you're listening to this now, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And it'll help kids out. It's an awesome charity. A friend of mine's a Marine. He collects the toys. He loves doing it. And so I'm going to do that this weekend. I'm going to buy up toys and I'm going to throw them in the box. And tweet them out to us at TF Radio. We're on Instagram at TF Podcast, or put it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TF Radio. So anybody get anything this week? I did not.
Diecast, you want to go through your box of Taobao before I do my update for this week?
Sure. It was a very small box of Taobao.
So only 40 things in the box this week.
Yeah. No. Actually, Walgreens, I picked up the twins. Huh. So I haven't had a chance to open them yet, but I got them, which is, you know, we've been waiting forever for these.
Wingspan is wonderful.
I prefer Cloudraker, as a matter of fact, to be honest. Then, I've always liked Cloudraker more.
First thing in the box of Taobao is I got a legend size six shot.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Which is pretty cool.
His submarine's upside down on the box.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah.
Misprint.
But, you know.
So is that the Tengu version or is that a KO of something?
It's Mech Fans, so I think it's KO of DX9.
Yeah. Yeah, Mech Fans is KOing and kind of upscaling the DX9 War in the Pocket series.
Yeah. Got some Autobot labels. They came with it and Decepticon.
Oh, nice.
I also got another Coot.
What?
Yeah. Why?
To display in both modes?
One for Robot. Yeah, mm-hmm. You gotta.
I want your job or your debt one.
Yeah.
Triple Changers.
No,
you don't want his debt.
Yeah, I want his stuff. Or I want his credit line, but not the debt that goes with it.
Yeah.
Well, and that just proves that his cup runneth over.
Oh, God, Don.
See, Don, if you were really thinking that one through, you would have said his coot runneth over.
I'm tired. Leave me alone.
No, I think cup runneth over is funny. Yeah. You just have to have context for what coot is.
Yep. And oh, one more thing. I did get replacement parts for, I got the Perfect Effects Combiner Wars upgrade kit for Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a problem with the ball joints for where the hands attach to, so they sent me two new ones.
I really never saw a need for an upgrade set for him. It was all pretty good.
Really? Have you seen that foot? Mixmaster's foot?
Well, I mean, other than that, but I mean, you know, and there was always Dr. Wu's Mixmaster. Did that come out?
That never came out.
Oh, okay. I thought it did.
Or if it did, it only came out in China.
Yeah, I think there were so many upgrade kits, Dr. Wu was like, oh, never mind. Those upgrade kits make it do the same thing that my $100 Mixmaster was going to do.
Yeah, honestly, that Mixmaster has a lot more problems than a slipper can fix.
Yeah. No, I mean, that fixed it for Devastator mode, so.
And that Mixmaster did look pretty good, though.
It's a good toy.
Good toy.
Anything else, Diecast?
No, that was it. I got Power that was a quick of the Primes box. Last week.
Yeah, so I'm catching up on Power of the Primes myself. So there's Jazz. Garbage. Better than Jazz is Slug. And if you make sure to transform the dinosaur neck correctly, it's even better because then it doesn't look like a deformed frog. This will probably be the next review I have up. Jazz went up today. Check that out on T-Formers and the T-Formers YouTube channel. So Slug, I like. Dreadwind, I like a lot.
From photos, that's the one that looks the least interesting. So.
Oh, no, that's the one I want the most.
Really?
It like, yeah, I can see why this would look the least interesting, but it came out really well. There's a lot of aerial bot in it, but the aerial bot parts, a lot of them are also like subtly changed.
Cool.
So I'm kind of thinking that there's a lot more technically new parts, even if they're more or less the same looking as the original aerial bot parts. But like, it all fits together well. The deco is great.
Yeah, that's the colors on him is just really pops.
And because of the way they changed how the wings transform, putting them on the legs now, the wingspan's actually a little bit larger in jet mode, so it looks more different from air raid when you have it in vehicle mode, which I thought was a nice little subtle touch. Because there's not a whole lot else in the jet mode to really set them apart, aside from the colors. Let's see, what do we have?
Which I really want to see what those two look like as Buster and Hydra. That'll be it. Because you know the car is going to have to go with that color scheme.
Yeah, I mean, just wait until summer 2018. That's probably when we'll see, you know, Legends pick back up or whatever they're going to call the line at that point. Mm. I think the best deluxe out of the wave is Swoop. Mm. My only real problem with Swoop is that the density of like sculpt detail on it is just ridiculous and kind of overloads the look of the toy. Like, they went way overboard with all the greebling on this.
So they kind of SIC'd it?
I guess, yeah. Or like, they detailed it as if it was supposed to be a liter size toy, except it's a deluxe.
Oh boy.
So yeah, it's very busy, not in a good way, but I really like the pterosaur mode because like, you can have it posed where it's either sitting up on its feet or have the feet posed behind it for a flight posture. And it's got a hinge for the neck joint, so you can have the head oriented correctly either way. Like, they actually put a good bit of thought into how the beast mode would end up working out in practice. So that's me catching up to last week. What, Don?
But does Swoop happen to have a peg hole for those transformer stands that have been sort of hit or miss in existence?
There has to be one here somewhere.
Because it seems like that'd be one you would have the port for the flight stand. Okay.
There is one. I'm not sure if it can actually be used in the dinosaur mode, though, because it's on the back of the pelvis and the legs have to fold over. I'll have to check on that later. I'll get back to you on that. Check my Twitter later for results if I remember. So that's me catching up to last week. So then over the weekend, I was able to go out while Target had their one day 25% off all toys sale and get a Wind Charger, Beachcomber, and what did I do with that? Slash. So I got the three new mold legends, and they're all actually quite nice. Wind Charger is the most troubled solely because the head sculpt is a little bit iffy, but a lot of that comes down to, I think, the color they use for the helmet. I have videos up of the legends, and I darkened the helmet in post-production just for demonstration, and it looks a lot better with that darker. Like, the face reads a little bit more distinct from the head. So I think just that one little deco change would have helped it a whole lot, but Wind Charger and Beachcomber are both really solid little figures. It wasn't until I handled Slash that I really realized how similar they were in their engineering. Because, I mean, it all is basically just like arranging the limbs around the box. Slash does the most different, but for being the Beachcomber update we've been waiting for years and years and years, this is so, so nice. I really am happy with this Beachcomber.
Won it G2 colors.
Yeah.
Brian,
I was just literally getting ready to say, now that we've gotten Beachcomber and we got Bumblebee, it's not a great Bumblebee, but we got Bumblebee and we have Sea Spray. We could redo the three mini bots in the G2 colors now.
Think you could make Roadburn work for that?
Probably.
Yeah. I forgot about Hubcap. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too much different because it was just like a reddish orange chrome, but I mean, you can probably get away with it.
That'd be kind of cool getting a set of four G2 mini bots.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be up for it. Even if it had to be like just metallic plastic colors and not actual chrome, but I mean, chrome would be fun too. Well, chrome's fun when chrome use is appropriate. I should, you know, stipulate that because we were complaining about random chrome use a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Slash is excellent. Slash is like a miniature deluxe in a lot of respects, especially the way it transforms. It's also the most different from, like, going as far back as Brawn. So, you know, Bronze, Sea Spray, Windcharger, Beachcomber, they're all basically around the same design model. They all work more or less along the same pattern. This is completely different. It's a little bit smaller, slimmer build, feels a little smaller in hand, but it does so much more and is a lot more interesting to me. And it looks and fits in really well with the other Dinobots. So I'm really happy with how this came out. And the Cinderstorm recolor of it that Leek said we're going to get later in the line, I'm really looking forward to that now too, because this turned out to be a really nice figure. And then just last night, I ordered the Prime Masters off of Hasbro Toy Shop, which I'll have this weekend. So I've got even more Power of the Prime stuff to talk about next week.
Jealous.
I didn't know that stuff was on Hasbro Toy Shop.
It's sold out now.
Damn it. Damn. I was just going there.
Well, I got a USB floppy drive, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, not really.
Anyway, I'm done.
I got a Megablox Technodrome.
That's
how
awesome.
Much, nice.
It's heavy.
That was just about $100.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that,
which
that
sounds
that,
decent by the pound.
Oh, it, no, that's way decent because the original price on that was $250.
Holy whoa. Crap.
Yeah, it's,
it
huge.
Is 2,976 pieces of awesome.
You figure they could just find 24 more pieces.
And it comes with little Krang.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Great.
And little Krang is made out of soft rubber, so he's squishy.
I love
he's a brain.
That.
Excellent.
Dang, I would buy that.
Now, I'm now picturing Beast Wars Megatron in the bath with little Krang instead of rubber ducky. And they're yes. plotting and they're plotting to rule the world.
Anybody else get anything? Don?
Yes, I got stuff. the last few weeks, I've waiting for some stuff to clear customs in China. I picked up the three Fans Hobby Monster Bots. Got all three of those for about $330 after Dononomics, which is about $110 a piece. Picked up the Autobot Heroes Platinum set because, as Chris was right, I kind of regretted getting rid of Ultra Magnus back at BotCon last year. So I'm going to keep Ultra Magnus and sell the rest of the Platinum set. I picked up, I found the clones as well. We have Fastlane, Cloud Raker, and Wingspan. Along with the Platinum set came from Target, I picked up the Cyclonus Combiner War, Robots in Disguise Combiner, because of the three combiners, I think he looks the most interesting, and I decided to give at least one of them a try to see what they look like. Also, when I went up to Roanoke, which is a pretty big city, about an hour and a half away, to visit a friend, I did find one lone Dreadwind, Power of the Primes, and I picked up Twinferno, so that from Robots in Disguise as well. And then when Toys R Us had that slight coupon error, they didn't have much on there that I wanted, but I went ahead and used my stackable coupons, and I got that Dark of the Moon Optimus with the decoder shield and sword. I got that for $15. Cool. So I thought that that's a nice version of the mold. That I wanted to get that. Other than that, let's see. And also, in a non-related note, I picked up the Ghostbuster Ninja Turtles. It's the same; they're the same size as the wrestling turtles, but it's so funny.
Didn't you have those last week?
Well, I mentioned it, but I don't remember mentioning it on here.
He didn't have the Ghostbusters ones last week.
Okay,
but it's funny because they made Raphael Zedmore
with the mustache.
With the mustache, and that mustache is just absolutely hilarious on the turtle. So. Plus, they were on sale. Then they went on sale even cheaper. So I got my difference back. So I got basically all four for like $48.
Wow.
Not bad.
So, and I figured because a case of four is just one each. So if I didn't buy the whole set now, I'd be trying to piece it together for who knows how long.
All right, Don, you done?
I'm done.
All right. Breaking news. XV is going to like this. The KO six shot came with another one of those old Diaclone dudes. It came with a white and blue one, which I did not know. I just opened up the packaging and I was like, what that looks like a, it is.
All right.
So, quick addendum to my my stuff from before. I threw Jazz over my shoulder. When I was putting the other stuff behind me, too, I found that the leg had popped off. And one of the things I talked bit some detail about in my review was how the ball joints on the legs are terrible and have basically no friction. So,
sad.
That's probably worth mentioning again.
I don't remember mine being a problem.
I may have a bad QC sample in terms of the joint strength, but like...
Did it come in a baggie?
No, but it does have all its wheels.
Anybody else get anything?
I got one tiny non-Transformers thing, but since everybody else has done non-Transformers, I got a Mega Construx Destiny minifigure at Five Below for like $3. And if you're into that game and have $3 to throw away, I recommend those. That is a fun little set. It comes with two different sets of armor for the character, and of course his ghost, his little computer helper bit thing, and a bunch of weapons, and a really nice little stand. And it's a good set. I want to get more of that stuff when I can. So luckily there seems to be a fair bit of it on sale at the moment. So going to look into that at some point. And I will also have the Prime Masters next week.
Cool. A couple things I wanted to mention that aren't really in the news, but we'll mention them. So TFCon 2018 was announced this week. TFCon USA 2018.
Yay.
Yeah, October 26th through 28th in Chicago.
Called it.
Yeah.
So
I mentioned to the wife, I'm like, oh, TFCon USA is going to be in Chicago. And I'm like, I guess we're not going to go. And she's like, why? I like Chicago. And I'm like,
oh. We can get pizza.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
And Portillo's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is, it's too far to drive unless you're going with someone.
Right.
It's too expensive to fly for that short of a distance. And it's just... Well, you're not all of normal. Us live up there in the middle of, you know, North Town. But, if it was a day trip and you had people to switch off driving, because I drove the entire 12 hours back from St. Charles, and I was absolutely just completely destroyed the next 3 days from being with the crud.
Well, I wasn't just destroyed from it, but I didn't enjoy it.
Exhausted. Yeah, so... I really wish they had stayed in D.C.
They're not going to.
No.
I know. But I really wish they had stayed there at least one more year. But so,
I wish I'd been able to make it when they were in D.C., but it's like the worst possible time of year for me money-wise, and TFCon Chicago next year is even deeper into that time of year for me money-wise, so I am not seeing that happen unless things are drastically different in a positive way.
So
I really want to go, but I'm not looking forward to that trip.
My favorite location for TFCon is Charlotte, because that's a 20-minute drive from my house.
I love DC. I love DC.
Yeah,
the location so much. The hotel was a little small for it.
Hotel
was
weird,
but everything else about the location was wonderful.
So, other thing I wanted to mention, unless you had a closing thought on TFCon. Okay,
sad.
Yeah. I'm going to try to just dance around this one a little bit, but last week Chris made the news because he discovered that Power of the Primes Jazz had in Cybertronian script a secret message on it. And so any bounce back or blowback, Chris, for you on that, how did that little moment of celebrity go? Did you get like anybody reach out to you like to comment on it or anything like that? Or was it
I can't really talk about any, you know, potential book deals or anything, but, it mostly just blew over.
So basically what he discovered is that there was a political slogan that was embedded into Jazz, and Hasbro said, you know, we don't want political speech on our toys. And I mean, why would you want another kid's toy? So it happened because it sounds like it happened from a third party. but from a vendor somehow
Hasbro uses, as far as I've come to understand, they use the word vendor sometimes to refer to freelance artists.
Yeah,
and some of those people do deco work for the toys, so some freelancer would have put that on at the point where it basically got around the approval process and went to print.
Yeah, but the interesting thing to me was just the fact that you found it and you were like in Kotaku and or whatever it was a couple times, and I thought that was cool. So, did you get many like Twitter followers from that?
I don't think I did. No.
Sad. Very sad. Okay. Let's see.
Well, I mean, considering the kind of followers I probably would have gotten from something like that, it's probably just as well.
Yeah. Yeah. let's jump to This Week in History. November 23rd, 1997, the Beast Wars episode Maximal No More premieres in the U.S. It sure did.
Well, I thought the Dinobot episode was appropriate, you know, given the prominence of Masterpiece Dinobot the last couple weeks.
Yeah. You know, while this is my favorite season, I don't have strong feelings about this episode either way.
It's a good episode, but it doesn't stand out quite as much compared to the other episodes around it.
I mean, I'm kind of glad they did it, because a lot of shows wouldn't have even acknowledged the conflict a character would have in that situation, or to be resolved in like 20 minutes with actually, this is actually some soul searching, some weighing of the options and everything. So it's kind of nice from a character standpoint. It just doesn't make as much impact as it should.
Yeah. Then in Code of Hero, he was contemplating suicide, because that's just what Beast Wars did.
Yeah. It sure did.
20 years ago.
20 years ago. Hey, kids, you want to kill yourself? Don't.
Well, first run syndication was a hell of a drug.
Did this episode make the Fox Kids version?
Yeah, they all did.
Okay. Yeah. Was it edited?
No.
Probably.
Yeah. They are all edited.
Probably was a little bit for time.
They were all edited a little bit.
Yeah.
So for people who weren't there, Fox Kids, after the fact, got Beast Wars. And they played it after it ran, and they edited the show for violence. So,
and a little handful of dialogue edits through the series too.
Yeah. So, that was a thing. In November 19th, the encore reissue of Devastator is released in Japan. And the thing about that, I was expecting. We got what, one repaint of that? We only got the anime color version. Was there another repaint? The obvious G2 repaint never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. We got two slightly different shaded green Devastators within a span of what? A year and a half?
If even
that. And it's like, really, really.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, and we still haven't gotten an orange or a yellow Devastator almost three years after the Combiner Wars one came out. So that's
It's a crime. And in 2013, Decartomi announces that Star Saber is the winner of the Fans' Choice Masterpiece poll. Sorry, Don.
Who would have expected? I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, Firequad, he didn't win, but who would have expected Star Saber to win?
Japanese, one. Two, the target age. I mean, I'm certain in Japan, Star Saber is cool, K-E-W-L, like Optimus Prime is still cool here. I mean, I have to assume that. Star Saber, I don't know that for a fact, but I would wager that. So there are probably more people who recognize Star Saber than recognize Fire Convoy.
Those people are wrong.
What were the other options? I've already forgotten.
Armada Prime was on there.
The same thing.
Fire Convoy, Armada Prime.
Diatlas on there? I can't remember.
I don't think
I don't think so. I think Leo Convoy and Big Convoy might have been options also.
I don't think they were.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't, but I remember definitely the one that made most sense at the time. And I don't really, I know a lot of people love that toy. I don't. I really, I'm not in love with that toy at all. So I probably would have rather had a Fire Convoy after the fact.
Star
Galaxy Convoy might have been on there too, come to think of it. There, it's like the poll, I think, was mainly leader characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
Star Saber's great.
It's not bad. It's just, it does nothing for me.
It's not bad. It's just uninteresting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's Star Saber.
And I prefer Saber to Star. I prefer the look of Saber to Star Saber.
I mean, Star Saber seems like one of those things that probably works wonderfully in the form of the original toy, where you have the, you know, little primary robot, and then you've got this big add-on piece that turns into an armor suit for it, like, and the Brainmaster gimmick. Like, in its original context, that all seems great. It just doesn't seem like something that really survives the transition to a higher-end modern figure.
But it all worked out really well.
Except no Victory Leo as of yet.
Yeah, as of yet.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Okay, so the big item for this week, John, you tell us about this one.
Yes, sir. So I would like to talk about this first with a story of self-discovery. A journey.
Is this going to be family friendly?
If you be the judge, sir.
I just want to know who you had to lobby to pull this off.
So I would like to start by taking you guys on a journey to a place I call 1984. Ghostbusters, Beverly Hills Cop, Police Academy. They were in the movie theaters. Dynasty, Magnum PI on television. And in September of that year, a little cartoon called Transformers. And a four-year-old John DeLuna had not long before that waddled.
And we lost him.
Wait. Oh,
we lost you for a second, John. You'll have to get back to your monologue.
Pick it up from waddled.
Well, I waddled into a KB toy store. I emerged
a man
with a sound wave.
Oh.
Fast forward to 1991, where a slightly older John DeLuna again waddled into an arcade at Disney World of all places and had discovered a shiny new cabinet emblazoned with the words Street Fighter II. And he pumped quarter after quarter into this machine. And a second love affair blossomed in John DeLuna's mind. Fast forward again, gentlemen, to November 20th, 2017, when a blurry photo graced my Twitter feed. Something magical, like Bigfoot. Unconfirmed, like Bigfoot. Fast forward a few hours to November 21st, 2017, when it was confirmed that for me, this was the most important day of my life.
The day that'll live in infamy.
But for Bison, it was two. Yes, gentlemen and ladies, it has been confirmed that Takara Tomy and Capcom have come together in a sacred and blessed marriage. And they will grace us next year with the most wonderful of collaborations, Street Fighter Cross Transformers. It is happening only in my sweetest dreams as a man-child would this happen. And now, May 2018, my dreams come true.
And who did you have to lobby for this?
We start with, I'm not telling. We start with two packs. Ken Masters versus Chun-Li, those two mortal enemies locked in eternal combat. And Ryu and Vega/M. Bison, depending on your country of origin and residence. Yes, indeed. Retailing, at least over here, about $90 for Ken and Chun, and about $130 for Bison and Ryu. I have laid out the story of my life, and now for the specifics, the nitty-gritty of these four wonderful toys, I will turn it over to XV and or Rob Clay to explain in depth the toy behind the masterful vision that I've just laid out for you. But I will say before I turn it over, there are a total of 12 characters in Street Fighter II lore. We are a third of the way home. As a collector of Street Fighter II, a jilted, on many occasions, collector of Street Fighter II lines that have long gone uncompleted, Takara Tomy, I beg of you, we are one third away from a complete Street Fighter II line. Please, God, if there is one, there's eight more in you. I'm begging you. I'll write letters. I'll start a campaign. I will do anything it takes to squeeze eight more out of you. I want Blanca as Gnaw. I want anybody as Honda. I just want to see Honda.
I was thinking Gnaw.
I just want to see Bulkhead. Naked Man.
Yes. Bulkhead.
A Bulkhead. Perfect. We've already decided. You've got six more to go.
Hey, that doesn't count palette swaps.
Ooh.
Make it happen. I want my player two color variants. I want my weird turbo third color. I want it all. I've said my piece.
You want it now.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we just found John DeLuna's Headmaster RC.
When I saw the blurry news of this, I was like, that looks exactly like what a KO company would do. And I'm like, oh no, Takara Tomy's doing it.
Because I was talking to Blade Raider on Twitter. I thought that was from a book of like abandoned concepts, or just maybe stuff they were going to do as promotional stuff. I didn't realize it was something that was like coming out.
Yeah, I just thought somebody was playing around customizing with something. Like, where did this come from? Who dreamed of this other than John DeLuna?
Someone was doing the really good drugs on this one.
I really want these.
Take us through the nuts and bolts, please.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll start off with the Ken versus Chun-Li set. Ken is the Legends version of the Titans Return Hot Rod mold, the one with the flip over chest plate, which is kind of brilliantly colored to be an engine on one side and Ken's exposed chest on the other. But the most brilliant part of the deco there is the fact that Hot Rod's crest is now Ken's eyebrows. That is the best damn thing. Chun-Li is Generation's Thrilling 30 RC, which, you know, makes sense by pretty much any metric I can think of for this set. It's just like the rest of this. It's all done entirely with paint. There are no remolds on any of this, so, which is probably good, because I think trying to put like actual human faces on these things would be kind of creepy in the end.
It'd be BotCon Metal Hulk.
Yeah, the flesh colored robot faces are already creeping me out a little bit.
Yeah,
especially in the other set, Ryu Optimus Prime with his, you know, flesh face plate. That's just the feet
is what gets me.
The feet don't bother me as much as the faceplate. I can't quite explain why.
It bugs me that Ken and Ryu are not the same toy, because in my mind they should be the same toy.
I was kind of thinking that too.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we're doing Street Fighter 2, because I mean they've had like separate, you know, more separate designs in more recent games, but yeah, they should be the same toy at this point. You realize somebody is going to buy like two sets of each of these two sets,
John,
so they can have two different scale Ken and Ryu customs that match.
That's John.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that's right.
I love the Titan Master, the fact that it's like just a small version. Is it of all of them? Yes, that's it is.
Ken Master.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I pre-ordered these already.
Yeah, and the last figure is, of course, Megatron as M. Bison, or Vega, as he's known in Japan. So, and that's the face, I think, works really well there, even though there's still that flesh thing going on.
Yeah, well, okay, so like Bison's the best one in a vacuum, I'm going to say, because it's the one that looks the most like it could just be a Transformers deco, and the heavy use of red makes the fleshy face kind of fit in more with the color palette. So, like, that one by itself just kind of works regardless of the reference.
I think Don was about to ask why he's called Vega.
Yeah, because Vega has the claws, right?
So in Japan...
He does in the U.S.
Yeah, in Japan, M. Bison is the name for our Balrog. The boxer who looks like Mike Tyson is named M. Bison. So they switched the names around to avoid a lawsuit over here, and it just wound up that M. Bison is the main villain, Balrog is the boxer, and Vega is the Spaniard with the claws.
Okay. So John.
Yeah.
John.
Yes.
Theoretically, how much would you be willing to pay for an Overlord painted like Sagat?
Painted like who?
Sagat.
Oh, of course. I mean, all my money. I guess.
Take it.
Yeah. My money. I would pay John's money. That's what I would pay.
So here's the thing. So when do we get Cammy? Because that's the one that's going to destroy the internet.
I want Blanca.
I want Blanca too. I want Blanca and Honda.
I want Honda. Because again, I just want to take Titan Windblade, I guess.
So what I fear is going to happen. Are one of these really disreputable third-party KO companies will take the RC and make the shower scene variant, and that will kill me.
Oh my god!
I don't even know what that is. Did you not watch?
Yeah, you don't. Don't.
Yeah,
he wasn't like 16 in 1995, Brian. He did not rent the unrated version of the Street Fighter II movie from Blockbuster.
I didn't rent it. somebody brought it over, and I'm like, this is terrible. I'm sorry, John.
Fair enough.
Is that the one with Jackie Chan?
No, that's... Okay.
No, that's something...
That's City Hunter.
City Hunter. Okay, well, who would be Dolph?
I also... Can I clarify something real quick, too? Mm-hmm. I just want to confirm... I just want to clarify that... that, yes, November 21st, 2017 is indeed the most important day of my life, closely followed. I just want to say it is closely followed by the day I got married and the day my child was born. Close second and third, marriage and child. I don't want anybody to think they're distant second and third. They're very close to this past Tuesday. I just want to make that clear.
I just love the fact that this actually hit on a Tuesday to make the joke work.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the sad thing is, you know, by the end of the year, when John's dead after Jamie's killed him, you know, we'll have to have a memorial show going into the new year, which will be like, well, this sucks.
You know, yeah,
that's true. I'm only mad if she cancels the pre-order. Now, if she can kill me out of rage and still take the toys in May, then I'll be fine.
I can't help but notice that John did not mention as one of the milestones in his life the day Street Fighter graced the movie theaters.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. We need a Street Fighter the movie edition, because I need a Jean-Claude Van Damme Transformer.
Okay, could they do the M. Bison figure, but make it movie with a more Raul Julia face?
Of course.
Oh, you know what? Use first edition Prime Starscream as the mold.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sure.
take the wings off, and it could be Dalzim.
It's more transforming Bisons. Yes, fine.
That would actually work for Dalzim. Actually, he would just have to have wings.
Yeah.
Well, he can fly. He can teleport. Yeah, he can float.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I was going to say otherwise. The closest thing would be like the transmutate build a figure. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking that would work good for movie Bison because he was definitely not large.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Now, he's creepy and he's kooky.
Yeah. You realize, Brian, that now we're going to be seeing all over Twitter 10,000 different photoshops of all these characters now. It'll be interesting to see how.
You make that sound like it would be a bad thing.
No,
this is the kind of hope we do.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with you, man?
So do you guys remember when the big Power of the Primes leak happened? I'm like, well, that's it. There's nothing going to happen this year worth talking about. I was proven wrong.
When I posted the first story about these crossover figures, like, obviously they came from a Figure King issue. I'm like, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago when we thought the only important thing in Figure King this month would be pictures of Dinobot.
Yep, we were wrong.
Huh. Way wrong.
Best news ever.
And also, if nothing else, this proves that we can expect nothing and everything at the same time.
Yeah,
Assume nothing.
The thing I want to mention about these that I love so much, like in other instances in the past when they've done crossovers, obviously this was Hasbro and bigger properties. No offense, John. They would actually do original molds. I am so glad that these are not original molds. I love the fact that these are repainted. Mm-hmm. That makes that if these were new molds, I would not care, to be honest.
Now I just look forward to the inevitable Mortal Kombat crossover where I get a seeker mold mm-hmm. painted over and over as Lin Kuei ninjas.
That could work.
I get the reference. I really don't care so much about Mortal Kombat. I don't think anybody really does.
I like Mortal Kombat better than Street Fighter, but that's just
the Japanese how I grew up.
I'm so debating hanging up on happening. You.
I'm not like super attached to either franchise, but yeah, I would endorse hanging up on Diecast at this point.
But Street Fighter has enough history now.
It has fighters history.
Yeah, so that way
that's what that's at east.
Yeah.
Hey, Mortal Kombat had better movies,
but.
Not by five.
I had one decent movie.
Yeah.
Christopher Lambert.
That second one was something else.
Yeah.
And it had a TV series.
If this crossover is successful, they could run with this line for quite a while with as many characters as there are.
Oh, John. Oh, it'll never happen. I was gonna say Skullamania.
Okay.
But that's not gonna happen since
one Capcom, Arika character?
Yeah, Capcom doesn't own Skullamania.
Yeah. Well, if they did Skullmania and it cost me like the 12th member of my Street Fighter to Transformers collection, somebody's dying. I'm just putting it out there. Somebody's going to lose their life.
Okay. And all y'all remember, you seen how passionate I've gotten in the past? I cannot hold a candle to John DeLuna when it comes to his Street Fighter.
And I just love this like casual coldness in how he's pronouncing that someone's going to die if his expectations are defied.
Yeah,
that's the best part. That's really just.
I'm sorry. If I don't get Guile, if I don't get that missing Jenga piece, I'm sorry.
We can live without Sagat for Skullmania. Or Rolento or somebody like that.
Oh, saying Skullmania makes me think of Hulkamania. I want a Transformer that's some wrestling Transformers. Just make the robots kind of resemble them somehow, or some outfits, or like an Austin 316 Transformer.
It's probably not going to happen since Mattel has that license.
Yeah. it would just be so weird.
You could take a Rock Lord and make Stone Cold.
Or The Rock.
Yeah,
or
there you go. That's perfect.
You could take
there you go.
Yeah, there's Tupac.
Yeah, you could take Movie Hound and turn him into Sergeant Slaughter.
I don't know. Hey,
Movie Hound to Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Okay, so the big sad face. I didn't even watch this. That's what Chris put in the show notes, and I just believe it. Machinima. Yes,
that's now our header title for when we talk about Titans Return.
Machinima Titans Return Episode 3, The Fight Begins. I have yet to watch any of these. Somebody who watched it, tell us about what happened in Episode 3.
I guess it's me mostly.
I watched it too, Rob.
Okay, well, the first two episodes, which we talked about last week, were decent. This one I thought dragged, kind of. This felt like they were still writing 5-minute scripts and just leaving the animation to make up for the extra time, which it can't. And, you know, it's just kind of slow. It's
running in place. It's really not, it's not telling you anything much. It's all setting up bits and pieces for later on, but it's really not going anywhere, and it's not in a hurry to get there either.
Also, the entire quest to find Fortress Maximus happened entirely off screen between episodes. It's like, okay, well, have they gotten Fortress Maximus yet? Looks like they're almost there. What, did they just like freaking leave them under the couch cushions or something? I mean,
the counterpoint to that is they could be looking for Namek.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they just went to the local Cybertron Ollie's, and that's where they found Fortress Maximus.
Yes, they found something with a whole cart full of them and managed to get one off of it. But my favorite part of the entire episode is Optimus Prime is standing on the sidelines watching the fight between Metroplex and Trypticon. And as he says something along the lines of, we have never seen battles of this scope and ferocity, Metroplex is taking some incredibly ineffectual swipes at Trypticon, doing absolutely nothing. I mean, just
whiffing.
Yeah, when Prime says that, absolutely nothing is happening. The city is taking no damage. Nothing dangerous or exciting or even interesting is going on. He's talking about how, you know, large and terrible this fight is. I mean, it's only when we had like one energy effect that one building even like crumbled. They actually animated it so that Trypticon stepped straight down on what had to have been a spring-loaded building, so that there was no rubble, no cloud of dust, no effects whatsoever. He just stepped on a building and it disappeared. It was very machinima.
And it's like, Metroplex, you have guns. Shoot the damn dinosaur. But I guess that would have cost more money.
Yeah. Or that would not have. If he just shot the dinosaur, it would not have given Optimus Prime the chance to stand around and say whatever Optimus Prime had to say.
Yeah. The only good thing about this episode to me, and this is sort of a stretch, is Megatron does come back and we get some interesting banter. Because I think for me, Combiner Wars, the Optimus Megatron banter was the highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Of the first series, because it's like, and this is sort of a spoiler, but Megatron shows up and, are you still mad at me for killing you? It's like, Okay, that's an interesting way to open the conversation. And it's amazing that they talk about all the stuff that's happened in the past. Like, they mentioned the Requiem Blaster, which was Armada. And then they mentioned other stuff, and it's like, so this is G1, or is it a continuation of Armada? Or is it assuming everything happened in one timeline, and this just takes place sometime after G1 proper, but before they start the Beast Era?
There's another possibility, which is that they just went to the wiki and hit the random button a bunch of times.
There we go. But I mean, it's like, you pull the Requiem Blaster out of your butt, which is Armada.
Ow.
And then you mention Unicron, and then this, like, your name dropping names that don't mean anything. But anyway, it was nice seeing Megatron again, him and Optimus talking for a few minutes. That was kind of nice.
Yeah. But I just hope this, like, picks up the pace a little bit next time. I mean, Night Sword in the chat brought up that they do mention, like, every episode that Metroplex is, you know, badly damaged, basically dying, and so that's why the fight with Trypticon is what it is. But it's like, in that case, you know, have him lose to Trypticon a little bit, maybe more percussively. Just have, there's nothing going on in that fight at all. So
I mean, they're just Trypticon gets a couple of solid hits in. Metroplex staggers, gets back up on his feet. It's like, there's no damage. There's no... Metroplex doesn't look damaged.
So, because that would require animation.
I'll be honest with you. I sort of zonked out while I was looking up this story that I want to talk about in a minute. And I came back, and it sounds like you guys are booking wrestling. Is what it really sounds like.
It sounds like you're describing a really bad knockoff of the Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader lightsaber battle in Star Wars.
Yeah. They're
that's
hitting
still better
each other
choreographed and, than this.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're hitting each other, they're grabbing each other, and it's like, ooh, you know, it's just like, don't just stand there, do something. And they're just...
So at some point, does Trypticon turn his back, and then Metroplex, like, slams him with a chair?
I wish there were a gigantic folding chair here on Cybertron.
That would be great.
That would
perhaps a ring bell.
Yeah, you know. If they gave us, you know, if they leaned into the fact that this is just not great animation and had fun with it like that, I would actually prefer it.
And then, because, and, you know, Metroplex just kind of stands there staring and then breaks off into a run and leaves his foot behind.
Awesome. Hey, are you guys going to put this up on T-Formers, or is it cool if I just go ahead and talk about it now?
What?
So in the chat, Night Sword, thanks again, had mentioned that on Facebook, a report had shown up on Fans Toys 24 Rogue, Fans Toys not RC, and folks in the chat are talking about it, and we might as well.
Color images.
It's color images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Rouge, not Rogue.
Yeah, I guess it is Rouge, because it's spelled Rouge, not Rogue.
Correct.
Rouge. I like Rogue better.
Yes, well, years in the Gundam fandom with people misidentifying a particular Gundam variant as the Strike Rogue kind of got on my nerves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yes, it's definitely Rouge. It's spelled that way. Sorry, I flipped the G and the U. I got pissed off yesterday for somebody spelling Q wrong. I'm like, so.
Well, you'll have to be more specific about that.
Yeah. But
I would just use the letter.
Yeah, nice. So there, the lipstick or something with the face looks off to me. People are basically gushing over it. I can see why somebody would love this. It's just not really my thing.
I love it. I love it. But that doesn't mean I don't see problems with it. And I think the lipstick is a little bit too dark or something. There's something off about it.
Well, and if you wanted to match the animation, as far as I recall, she shouldn't have any.
Now I got to pull up pictures. Go to Google Images.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but...
Well, let me take a look here.
Don will know.
Yeah.
It looks like
Don has a photographic memory.
She has multiple faces, but they all apparently are very lipsticky. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's not... I don't think it... It doesn't resonate with me like most of the Fans Toys designs do. But I'm sorry, of all the third-party RCs, it's the best one that I've seen.
Okay, yeah, so she did have lipstick. My memory just is terrible.
Yeah, my memory sucks.
At least she did in the movie. I don't know if she did in the show.
In the show, she did. I think that that picture I just put in our chat is from the show. I don't think
that's
from the movie.
Yeah, that's the movie.
That's the movie?
But I'll assume she had it in the show,
yeah,
too.
If she had it in the movie, I'm certain she had it in the show. Yeah, there's just something, it's something off. Here's the thing. It's like the Uncanny Valley. It's so close that just the slightest thing being off throws it off for me. So that speaks to the quality of this, I would say, more than the lack of quality. It's just it's so close and it just doesn't quite work for me.
But yeah, there's something. I mean, I love it. I'm not trying to put the figure down.
Oh, no,
everyone
it's great.
Knows I love fans' toys, but there's something that's just not clicking with the face, and I'm not sure what it is.
Maybe if Chris had it and he photographed it, it would work better for me. So
I don't want to be like,
if Chris had it, I would drive to his house, even if it took me 20 hours, just to touch it.
That sounds intensely creepy when you say that, like
it
that.
It does.
Besides, it'd be about 14 hours for you. So,
well, I mean, you don't know for sure. Diecast might even drive faster than you.
But what highway is he taking?
It depends on how many Cinnabons are on the way, because if I see one, I have to stop.
Yeah, no, if I was taking pictures of it, I wouldn't want to be deceptive and make it like look actually good.
Yeah, I kind of like what I'm seeing. The face is too lipsticky, because it's drawing, because the eye should be the brilliant blue eyes should be what draws you to her face. And the lipstick is too overpowering the visual of the eyes.
The eyes should be a little larger, I think, is part of it.
Larger and brighter color, and the lipstick should be more subdued.
Yeah.
The entire sculpt of the face should be changed, because this is actually fairly bad.
Maybe it is the sculpt. Maybe she's a little, the face is a little too much rounded. It looks a little bit too much human.
Need some corners.
Yeah, but yeah. But I think we can say it does look better than any of the other third party figures.
Oh yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially in vehicle mode.
I was gonna say, like, who was the one that made the one that didn't have a back end?
Oh, that was God. Toy World.
Yeah.
Hey,
Doc.
Was that also the creepy one?
Yeah. Well,
there's some creepy photos with this one. I gotta say, yeah. I did not show them on the stream. One.
Yeah. Hey, Diecast, can you put a link in our chat to the vehicle mode? Because for some reason, when I try to bring up those pictures, they never load.
I could try.
I mean, there are a few things I like about this, even compared to the Generations version. One is that the slightly exaggerated chest proportions are apparently an optional part, and they have one that's more animation accurate. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
In terms of the body shape, it's still a little bit too organic in places, but it's definitely an improvement over the Generations figure, even so.
Yeah, so I think, like, yeah, it's like with official Takara Masterpiece stuff. Lately, it's gotten to the point where they really prioritize robot mode over vehicle mode. And with this, they're prioritizing something. I don't know what it is, and it just throws it. It just throws it all slightly off, slightly askew.
Yeah. See, I love Andrew Wildman drawing in Marvel Comics. I love the way he draws stuff, but I don't want my toys to look like that. I love the way they look in the comics, as far as fluid living beings with expressions. But I don't want my toys to have those same kind of expressions. That makes any sense?
Yeah.
I would want one specially made to have that done fully in the Wildman style. I would not want just the face to be like that, because it would not match the aesthetic of the rest of the figure, and that just wouldn't do it for me.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that Andrew Wildman Scorponok, the Titan Master that comes with Grotusk, but sadly there's never going to be a really nifty Andrew Wildman body to go with that, which is very sad.
And kind of like that Derek Yeniger G2 Sideswipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, you're getting that. Diecast is definitely getting this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to probably get two. Like, you got two of the coot.
Probably.
Well, no, he needs to get three, because then, you know, one for vehicle mode and then one for each of the chest plate options.
Well, he won't have to, because he can have the other option on the Paradron Medic.
I'll be honest with you. I wish this was the Make Toys figure, because it would be a headmaster. I mean,
somebody needs to make a headmaster attachment for this with a better face, and then all problems solved.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
So I've been saying that I'm done with third-party Masterpiece unless it's something that we'll never get. I would if Make Toys did a remaster RC that was a headmaster, I would probably have to buy it.
See, that's what made me so bad about the toy world, made me so angry, is that they had the chance to be the first third-party company to do a Masterpiece-alike, Masterpiece scale RC, headmaster or not, and get it spot on correct, so that way, you know, that's my coffee maker turning off.
I thought it was a fire.
You're making a bowl of coffee.
I already have. So, and they just completely blew it with the way the vehicle mode looks. Even though you don't keep it in vehicle mode, you know it's there, and it ruins the figure just by existing in general. So I'm hoping this one here turns out to be a lot better, but I do think the face needs a little work. Hopefully they got time to sort of tweak that. I mean, I don't even care if she's, I would like for her to be a headmaster, but maybe if it's a Masterpiece scale, a third party can do a Masterpiece head. So that way, if nothing else, you get a Daniel that can still drive RC. And so that
even
way,
even if it's not a headmaster, you can probably count on like Dr. Wu or somebody to do a replacement face if there's enough expression of dissatisfaction with the one it comes with.
Well, we never got it for BattleTech RC. So,
no, not enough people cared about that, Don, I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a thing.
Also, in the BattleTech days, Dr. Wu wasn't a thing.
I know, that's true.
We didn't get a BattleTech and we didn't get a Kiss player. It's a good thing. Okay, so moving along. So Mattel said, no thank you, Hasbro. We don't want you to buy us.
Not for what they were offering, at least.
Yeah, what was it like? Wasn't there a bonus to the stock value? Wasn't it like 20% or 25% above stock?
I don't have that information.
I don't remember, but I read that. So
I read something about it. I think it was like a 15% bump up in the stock when the news went out that Hasbro might be purchasing Mattel.
I mean, it would be, you know, I honestly don't know why I really care. Because I don't know that it would benefit Hasbro that much, except for the fact that they want to be a media company. But what media, other than Barbie, does Mattel really have? I mean, Barbie is it.
Call of Duty? They could do a Call of Duty movie.
No, Call of Duty's already a thing. That's a license.
I would have to think that, yeah, it would be about getting access to the licenses Mattel has. And also about basically eliminating a competitor, because Mattel, like, they don't have a chance against, they don't have a chance to get Lego out of the way, but, like, if they could knock Mattel down or bring them on their side, that's a fairly substantial shift.
And acquisitions.
I really think it'd be about the licenses as much as anything else.
And acquisitions have been a thing, though, for Hasbro for years. Look at all the companies they've acquired.
Yeah.
Kenner, Galoob, all those companies. Yeah. So it's what they do. But there's no license that there's nothing that Mattel does that I want to see Hasbro do better.
There's nothing. Okay, so I will agree with you on that. The only thing Mattel has that off the top of my head, I would want to see Hasbro be able to utilize themselves with their properies is Mega Constructs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of potential in that. You incorporate stuff Hasbro owns or has licenses for G.I. into Joe. That. Yeah, or even think about, like, if the Star Wars license were to leave Lego, just, you know, wild spitballing, and go to Mega Bloks, you would have a completely different kind of product with that, too.
That's true.
Like, there's all kinds of potentials with just that alone, and I think the other stuff they could get access to through Mattel, they could do other things along that same line with.
In the chat, Jason said he has one idea. They want to be able to have a John Cena toy for the Bumblebee movie. Yeah, that's true. And our buddy Nightwing Numb said DC Comics figures. You know, I like Legends figure Marvel Legends better than the DC stuff. So I actually, if Marvel Legends was the same scale, it's already the same scale, but the same quality with the DC stuff, they were a little more plug and play, that would be kind of cool. But
oh, yeah. So how about this? How about this? Transformers Masters of the Universe crossover.
I would like to see Transformers of some of the wacky Masters of the Universe vehicle designs. That would be neat. Man.
He-Man is
so
dead.
There's all kinds of fun you can have with this idea, though.
Yeah. Okay. So moving along, Power of the Primes, bringing it together with combination diagram images and Dreadwing instructions. Rob, you posted this. What are you telling us with this story? What's in this?
Not very much. It was just some new leaked diagrams, basically, from upcoming figure designs or figure releases. Sadly, they do not give us the name of any of the combiners, if they have any, considering they are barely willing to admit that these combine still. I mean,
wait, they combine?
Uh-huh.
La, 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 I can't hear you.
But, yeah, so the interesting thing is that I don't think in any of these instances does it actually show, like, a unified team combiner. There might be one for Volcanicus, and that's about it. So it's just straight up going with the making combiners out of the waves we're getting otherwise. The one thing it does have is the Dreadwing combination instructions, at least for the Blackwing side of things. And that, you know, gives us a half decent idea of how that works, but that's about all there is to this.
I don't think Dreadwing's instructions actually acknowledge that either.
I wonder if these are only for like overseas instructions or what, because there's about, looks like 20 languages on each of these sheets.
Well, yeah, if there's that many languages, they would be overseas versions.
Yeah, it might be 23, might be 24 if I'm reading this right.
Wow. That sure is a thing.
Yeah, I don't see anything on here for Dreadwing.
So I'm good moving along if you guys are.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Okay, so we have from Kevin Liu's YouTube page, our YouTube channel, we have a photo of first photo of the torso mode of Starscream. Yeah, it sure is a torso. There's something weird about it. It
turns into movie Starscream.
Yeah, now that you mentioned
it. Oh, God, it does.
It turns into movie Starscream with a crowned G1 Starscream head.
That's exactly it.
And you know what that means? That means Combiner Elita 1 is also going to turn into movie Starscream.
Oh, boy.
That is so weird when you put it that way. Oh, gosh, it does. Okay, well, not all of my Combiner Wars Voyager figures got used in a combiner, so I don't think Starscream will either.
I'm not even going to buy the Starscream.
I will get whatever Takara does with it and Alita 1.
Yeah, I'll probably get Alita 1 and leave it alone as a Starscream.
Yeah, I'm gonna see what Alita ends up looking like, because I was interested in the Starscream until I saw the retail version and the hell of stickers on the jet.
Oh.
If Alita has something equivalent to that, that's probably going to turn me off that too, but at least there's hope for the Takara version in some capacity, probably.
So I'm not a...
Leozak.
I know.
I'm not a big fan of the unofficial combiner configurations that you can do when it doesn't create a character, but I will say this. Our buddy Fred's Workshop has the best combiner ever. He basically has taken like 4 smoke screens and Optimus Prime, and has made just a red combiner that just looks amazing. It's definitely worth checking out. I love it. It just looks awesome. So I would consider something like that, but yeah, I'm not really feeling this.
I at least like that they're including an Enigma of Combination accessory with all the Voyagers. So like, if you understand what that means, there's justification for this is just a random combiner made of random characters that doesn't necessarily have a specific individual identity. Like, with the existing fiction around that.
Yeah.
Except for the Dinobots and Terracons.
Well, the Terracons, anyway. The Dinobots, as far as I'm concerned, are still a monstrosity of the Enigma.
Okay.
Yeah, they're tapping into Machinima for ideas. This is not good.
Yeah. No, Machinima is piggybacking on IDW ideas.
So we have new photos of MP41 Masterpiece Dinobot, including alternate faces and stuff. This has the best the transformation. Dear God. So here, let's see, on the video we're showing photos of Dinobot from the front, side, and back. That looks awesome in robot mode.
Yeah.
Dear God, yeah. It looks awesome. Raptor mode, not so much.
The Raptor mode's okay, all things considered.
I love the faces. I mean, no wonder this thing is $250.
Yeah, apparently all the alternate faces also have movable jaws.
That is ridiculous.
So the mouth can be open or closed regardless of the face.
Hmm. But that transformation, it looks like DNA transcription is basically what that looks like.
Step one, remove the tail. Step two, get a small explosive.
So basically, it transforms like Blackthorne's How to Draw Transformers books.
Yeah. Yeah. Step one, remove the tail. Step two, disassemble toy. Step three, four, profit. Or robot in this case.
Oh, dear God, that transformation is awful.
Yeah, I posted the isolated frame of the very mid-transformation step. The best description someone came back to me with on that was that it looks like a piece of bad fried chicken.
Hey, you guys wanted Masterpiece Beast Wars.
So I really hope that this one is one that's packaged in robot mode. And it will never get transformed.
That's what happened to my Masterpiece Megatron.
I hope it's packaged in between modes.
I mean, okay, but you have to give them credit for at the very least showing you, okay, you can't complain to us because you didn't know what you were getting into, because we have taken magic and built magic into the plastic.
And this is like a disclaimer for buying the toy.
Exactly. So it's like, you know what you're getting. Don't complain to us when you can't transform the figure, because this is what we had to do to get it to work.
I just want to see someone do this transformation on a video. I want to see how all the pieces work. I don't ever want to do this myself, and now I want some fried chicken.
Yeah. We have new photos of MP39 Sunstreaker, and it's worth mentioning I did get my email today saying that HLJ wants money for that, so...
Okay, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that should ship soon.
I'm hoping to have that by Christmas.
You know what else is? You know what else comes out probably this weekend, actually, is Mistfire and Doublecross.
They also wanted money for that.
And Broadside, but who cares?
I didn't get Broadside, but I did get Mistfire.
Sunstreaker looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Lambor reissue next month?
It should be.
No, I got an email saying they wanted money for it. So.
HLJ?
Yeah.
I don't remember who I did mine through.
Hey, Brian, how much was yours at HLJ?
I don't remember. Sunstreaker. No, that's what I'm saying. Mistfire, Doublecross, and Sunstreaker all together were like what, 15,900 yen? So that's how much they were all together.
That's about right.
So
one thing I like about Sunstreaker is that you actually get an alternate chest if you want the style of the windows to match the car rather than the animation. I think that's neat.
Yeah. So I still haven't gotten rid of my Sun Surge. I really like Sun Surge, except for that damn transformation. So
I do too. It's just, it's like, is what you're getting, I guess it boils down to what we talked about previously, Brian, is what you're getting with Sunstreaker, is what you're getting with Sunstreaker in your collection on that particular shelf worth paying the extra money if you already have Sunsurge?
So my rule of thumb, it's not a rule of thumb, my rule is I will always prioritize official Masterpiece over... Official Masterpiece over whatever. So if there's an official version of the Masterpiece, even if it's not as good, I mean, there are going to be instances where they're not as good. because some of these third-party things are really great. But I'm going to prioritize official, and that's what I'm doing here. I think this will probably be better. SunSurge is
I think so too.
Yeah, SunSurge is very nice, except for the transformation.
And it looks like, based off this catalog scanner or whatever, that they can fit the entire transformation into like 14 pictures.
That's true.
Nice.
And they don't have to do what they're doing with Dinobot, skipping like 17 of them to, you know, make it fit on a page.
Yeah. So, so there, honestly, some of the early figures like Lambor could honestly probably stand a do-over. When I say early, I mean early in this generation of Master Beast toys.
That was still a pretty good toy.
That was a 2012 or 2013 masterpiece. Yeah.
2012.
It seems really
primitive. Early 2012.
It seems really primitive to me compared to.
It's still pretty nice.
I guess I can see that a little bit, but I don't think it needs a do-over.
Psytope's not a particularly complicated design either.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about that mold that, to me, just seems really simplistic. But there are toys that we need do-overs of way worse, like Starscream.
MP10.
MP10 is fine.
He needs a do-over.
No, MP10 is the do-over.
He doesn't.
He has tolerance issues and joint issues.
That's because you've gotten like the 15th run of it.
He's a little too.
The one everybody else has is just fine.
He's a little too light. He needs a little bit more heft to
him. Oh, no, he's perfect there.
Okay, he's fine. Phil, get a sock full of pennies and cram that in the trailer. It'll be plenty heavy for you then.
No, his heft is perfect. His balance and everything is perfect.
I think
Diecast problem is just that it's not made by Fans Toys.
Yeah. Therefore, I want a Fans Toys Optimus Prime. That's exactly what I want.
Now the Seeker though, everything I've seen, that Seeker needs a fresh take.
Yeah. The Seeker is unfortunate. Yeah.
The Seeker is past his prime.
It especially needs a fresh take because then Matt will have to start all over again from the beginning, and that is perfect.
As will everybody else.
And it will happen.
Because they're out of molds to do with it now. I mean, what else? They're out of character. Well, almost.
There are plenty of background paint decos left that they can do.
They haven't done a purple one yet.
No, they have not.
I just had a scare. I went to Amazon Japan to see how much Sunstreaker was, and it was over 30,000 yen. And I thought, what?
Marketplace seller?
No. I forgot I was just seeing what a Dinobot would call shipped. It was still in my cart. So it was like,
there you go.
Okay.
Hot Rod could use yet another do-over.
I don't want to agree with that. But I can't disagree.
We're good.
Yeah, we got one coming.
Yeah, and we've got the Target Master Hot Rod, the reissue of the previous mold, coming in February.
MP40, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll be passing on that one.
Yeah, that's great. So like, between the, legitimately impressive-looking Sunstreaker and the quasi-miraculous Dinobot, we just get, it's Hot Rod again.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some mood whiplash.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay, so Paramount launches its first augmented reality experience featuring content from Transformers The Last Night. Okay.
Only on iOS.
Oh, really?
That's what I saw in the article, yes.
Yep, so app created by Viacom Next using Apple ARKit technology.
Okay, cool. I have not actually tried an AR experience before. I've done VR.
You didn't play Pokemon Go?
That's not an AR experience.
That has an AR mode.
Yeah.
That's a really lame AR though. I mean, it's not like
I'm just saying, like, that's still an AR experience. If you played Pokemon Go, you have theoretically tried an AR experience, although you can turn that off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna search for it now.
But from what I'm seeing here, it looks kinda cool. If you
have an iOS device.
And I don't.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay.
We have a few third party things we can talk about now, in addition to the one we basically started the news with.
Okay, so MMC R31 Otter Beta and R32 Stray details, images, and pre-orders.
So one is Drift, the other is Deadlock, which is Evil Drift.
Yeah. Part of me feels like we need another take on Drift, but we really don't. So,
I mean, I wouldn't mind a new Generations Drift toy.
I don't think, just to me, Drift doesn't justify it.
I'm still pretty happy with the 2012 one.
2010, and
pretty nice.
Nice, but I also like really feel the age in its design.
But it's
Drift. I think they could do something more interesting now. Plus, that was also based on one specific comic iteration of Drift, and Drift has not looked like that in years and years and years. So, I mean, an updated one wouldn't be out of place either.
But we have so many other characters that I would rather have another take on or a first take on.
At the same time, we also like could use something that's not just a G1 rehash.
I would definitely take a new Drift over yet another Windblade.
I will concede this point.
Yeah, maybe the fourth time will be right in getting a decent figure from her.
Okay, so how about this? You take the Titans Return Windblade and paint it in Drift colors.
No. No, let's not do that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Massey.
Hi, Massey.
Here comes trouble.
Oh, another thing I would like to have is animated Sentinel Prime.
In classic style or
In all the styles.
I want animated Prowl in classic style.
Mm.
Omega Supreme.
With the samurai armor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Magic Square announces new unofficial Legends scaled figures. Ooh, new unofficial Legends figures.
I never heard of Magic Square before.
And you might never again.
But, man, that nice Ultra Magnus looks awesome.
Inferno? Ow. Oh, Massey.
Good Massey.
Good Massey. Destroy Massey.
I was about to say, don't listen to him.
I was about to say, meanwhile, while you guys were talking, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, you may want to head over to YouTube because we did just have a Massey attack.
A small one.
Yeah, a minor one, but enough, obviously.
So about an hour and a half into the show, if you're keeping track.
Blood. I'm not showing the video. Don, let me switch the video. Don, I'm switching back the video. Look.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Massey.
Do we still have the Massey attack link on Amazon?
TFRD.net/Massey attack.
Now he's drinking water to wash the taste of me out of his mouth, apparently.
There's something about these legend scale figures that, I don't know, like this Ultra Magnus looks, I don't know.
It looks nice.
Mm.
Everything I'm seeing so far, I like.
I kind of like that Cyclonus.
Cyclonus
looks good, too.
I might feel better in, like, the robot mode. To use Rob Springer term, looks like a shampoo bottle.
Of the single color. I'm sure once they get a deco on this,
it will look
significantly better. But I think it looks great.
Vehicle mode looks great. Robot mode.
I'm also not 100% convinced that these are not renders.
I am certain they're renders.
Yeah. So that would also explain the shampoo bottle thing because they have not been textured yet.
Mm-hmm.
Legends class Donacons, that has promise.
Ultra Magnus looks a little bit skinny to me.
He looks very flat.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just like the thickness of the body doesn't look right, or the head should be smaller or something. It doesn't have that like Ultra Magnus heft to it.
Cyclonus does look great.
Yeah, I'm suddenly not so upset that I missed out on the Iron Factory version of Cyclonus now.
Beachcomber is unnecessary.
Sea Spray for that matter.
I haven't got a Sea Spray yet.
Maybe we'll get them in G2 colors since by the time these come out, the colors will be tweakable.
G2 colors would make them,
Don, the colors are tweakable now because they're just gray.
Although
I mean with them these were in production probably before Beachcomber was a known thing, or maybe even Sea Spray. So they can look at it and say, okay, why don't we do ours in G2 colors since there's already an official one out, since it's doubtful the official will do the green G2.
That's not going to help Sea Spray, though, because Sea Spray's G2 colors were just G1 colors but chrome.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Although
true.
I have been informed recently that there was apparently a chrome variant that was more to the purple end, kind of like happened with the transmetals, but I have never seen like a picture of that to know how far off it might be.
Okay, so
if any of you listening to this podcast do, tweet us at TF Radio.
I'll have to check mine. It might be on the purplish side of things.
Well, I mean, in your house, it could be on the brown side of things.
That is a consideration.
Okay, so, ooh, this is new. Is it not? The Perfect Beast Mega...
Yeah, no, that's new.
Dragon. I love that. Well, it's like dragon, but there's a... Yeah. There's no one there, so it's like dragon, dragon.
It's the same naming convention as Gorira. They're just kind of leaning into...
I like that.
Literal spellings.
Yeah.
Literal spellings of how it would be written in Japanese.
Unofficial Beast Wars Megatron. So, So this is like Transmetal 2.
It's a Transmetal 2 Megatron, the same size as their Optimal Optimus.
I've never been a fan of that Megatron, but I like this.
Because they've redesigned this kind of substantially to
look better
toward the mechanical side of it than the...
The Transmetal 2 Megatron, a lot of I remember people loved that toy when it came out, but it's like, it's okay.
It's okay.
Okay. All right, yeah. Robin Chris. When y'all look at that, do y'all think of Gundam Epinion?
The wings are kind of there, aren't they?
I can see where you're getting that from. I look at that more and see like a Gigatron in the waiting.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, when it comes to Gundam Wing, I know my Gundam Wing. So you can say Brian in there, too. No,
okay,
I'm kidding.
All right.
I'm kidding. You know, I hate
to
Gundam Wing.
Mind me and Rob are the Gundam
Wing. I hate Gundam Wing, but I watch the hell out of it.
That's why you know to hate it.
Yeah.
Well, see, Paladin had the Beast Gorilla, and he liked it, but it was really overcomplicated for a toy that didn't really need to be that complicated. But he said that was
the impression I got watching a couple videos about it.
Yeah, but he said the build quality was there. It's just... It's over-engineered for the sake of being over-engineered when that mold
was it a
doesn't
bad cube?
Really...
I mean, at least with Transmetal 2 Megatron, like, some engineering complexity is kind of inherently called for.
Yeah.
I just put some color shots in the...
Are those... Isn't that just the prototype shots that we're talking about photoshopped into color?
I don't know.
It looks like it, but probably worth a look.
Yeah, Digibash. Yep.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest, I would be more interested in me getting this in like the cooler blue Cryotech color.
Oh, yeah. There's a Cryotech colors Diecast just put in here too that somebody photoshopped.
Yeah, they're both
that
Digibash.
That looks pretty nice.
Oh, it does. That looks Cheeps. Really nice.
Cheeps.
Although I think Perfect Effect is doing a Primal Prime color version of their Gorira, so a Cryotech of this Megatron is not at all out of the question. So that might be something to keep in mind when you're considering getting this mold or not.
Okay.
Oh, that looks really nice. Those cool colors.
So, as we mentioned a minute ago, if you want to go to tfradio.net/massyattack, you can help try to...
Bandage Don's wounds.
Bandage Don's wounds. Basically, that'll take you to the Massey Attack wish list, which includes such wonderful things as moon pies. Everything on
and
this.
Gauze.
So basically, this right here, this is stuff that goes to Don. So
literally though, there is nothing a moon pie cannot solve.
Except like the craving for something that tastes good or
diabetes.
I forget.
Oh God. Brian, drop him. Drop them both.
I forget why some of these things on here, like the Neosporin and the Transformers bandages I get.
Yeah.
But I forgot and the Bactine, but there's Velveeta on here. There's a PS...
It's because it's Dawn.
That's for people who hate Dawn.
Yeah, but there's a PS4 on here. I don't know why.
I think Dawn Special requested that.
And an overhead projector.
Yeah, the overhead projector was for the Dawnomics panel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But there's also Purina Pro Plan for Massey if you want to reward Massey for biting Don. TFRU.net/MasseyAttack.
If you want to make sure
Yeah, if you want to make sure he's in like prime biting condition for as long as possible, you know, there's some cat supplies on there.
But actually, in all seriousness,
if you do and there's any excess, Don has promised to donate any supplies he can't use to his local animal shelter. So it will all go to use in some good cause.
True. But, you know, other stuff as well. Of course, Friday is Black Friday, and there are going to be holiday deals all week long next week. Go to tfradio.net/Amazon to your Amazon Christmas shopping through that link. It'll help us out, help us pay for the show.
And you know, if you don't have Amazon Prime already, this would be a great time to sign up, and you may be able to get a free 1 month trial of that if you go to tfradio.net/Prime.
Good memory.
I got that right on the first try.
You did. Perfect. But in respect to Transformers, if you still haven't picked up a Twinferno, or Double Cross, Twinferno, whichever you want to call it,
you specify it's the Titans Return.
Yeah, the Titans Return version. It's $10 right now. So he's definitely worth that.
Yeah, just
$10. tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay. Real quick.
It's definitely worth that if you do have the Prime shipping to get it for $10 and no shipping cost.
I bought a floppy drive yesterday. And it came today.
I saw the picture on Twitter.
Yes, so Amazon's wonderful. Okay, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, first up, we now have target DPCI numbers for all size classes of Power of the Primes. So if you think Friday is a good day to be bugging people at Target about this, please don't. But sometime next week might be good. But yeah, we've got... I'm pretty sure, yeah, Prime Master, Legends, Deluxes, yeah. Voyagers, Leaders, that's everything.
So I checked on this earlier today, and no Target stores in the country, if I'm reading this correctly, no Target stores in the country have anything but Deluxes and Legends registered in their systems yet. So if you're looking for those things, you might have a chance, but the other size classes will probably still be a little bit to wait. Target is supposed to be doing an end cap reset starting on the 26th that will include Power of the Primes or Transformers Generations in general. So keep an eye out for that too, starting that Sunday.
Just as the sale ends. I mean, that's the point, but still they're trying to clear space before the new stuff goes out. So
yeah.
Good news is the new stuff is coming out.
Yay.
And also, the rest of what's on T-Formers this week is just about all XV's reviews. The Power of the Primes Windcharger, Beachcomber, Slash, and Jazz that he's done in a very short period of time. So
I'm tired.
I don't blame you. But yeah, there's a lot of good Power of the Primes stuff up there right now. And also, not listed here, but I also did do a review of Optimus Prime number 13, which is this week.
Sorry, I'll get that into the show notes.
Oh, okay, thank you. But
completely slipped my mind.
Yeah, but yeah, I am just really impressed with how well those videos have come out and how fast you've been able to do them. That's
pretty amazing, yeah. Hey, okay, before I throw it to you, I want to say this. My second Christmas album is available for download right now.
Oh, that's in the What's on the Network this week.
But I want to get this out. I want to plug this because it's so important to me and to you and to the whole wide world and the future of our children and in society in general that you download
Citation
this album.
Citation needed.
You need this album. Go to briankilby.com/XMAS2017. Now, I didn't put Xmas because I'm trying to get all the Christmassy stuff out. It's just, it's easier to type that out. briankilby.com/Xmas2017. And if you want to get my 2016 album, my first album, it's also free. briankilby.com/XMAS2016.
I anxiously await my copy of your new 2017 album.
Now, I don't think I'm going to burn any copies.
Oh, good. I was actually kind of worried about that.
Good. So,
so Don, before Brian throws to you and you start reading, I want you to read what I put there for those albums verbatim, regardless of what Kilby has just said.
Okay.
briankilby.com/XMAS2017. It'll change your life.
It's still mostly just the same thing he was talking about, but, you know, color commentary.
Go ahead, Don.
All right. What's on the network this week? Glad you asked.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Macrocosm. Discovery is on hiatus, but that just gives us more time to talk about the Orville. This episode seemed better than the last few. It was probably also better than that one episode this week, which was Voyager's Macrocosm. It is easily among the most ridiculous, poorly thought of hours of Star Trek ever committed to video.
And next to Bride of Chaotica.
Shut I your said one mouth. Shut your mouth. Drop this call. That is Mike. And after this week, only 5 episodes of the podcast remain until the start of that one episode of Babylon 5.
Don't hold your breath.
RPG Lessons Learned, episode 29, Assassin's Creed on the Fly, D&D 5th edition, May 2016. This week, after a GM no-showed at con, Dusty stepped up and improvised a game inspired by Assassin's Creed. And because we were all very bad children this year, Brian's 2017 Christmas album, Christmas Feast, is Christmas Time in Wilkes again. Introducing Brian's 2017 Christmas album, Christmas Feast, is Christmas Time in Wilkes again. Brian is back with a brand new album to brighten your holidays. Enjoy such classics as Come All Ye Faithful, Ave Maria, Away in a Manger, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and more. Download and experience Christmas like never before. Share with your friends, enemies, and complete strangers. Plus, just in time for the holidays, Brian's first... Wait a minute. What? Okay.
Brian's first Christmas album.
Christmas has been re-released. From Jingle Bells to the title track, Christmas Time in Wilkes County, this is sure to be the best gift you'll get this year, y'all.
Yes.
See, Brian, when you posted that picture of the floppy drive and the discs and talking about the album, I was really afraid I was going to get a box of floppy discs in the mail as the copy of the
No, if
album.
If I do it, it'll be on CD again, but I did buy some CDs to do it with. I just don't have the wherewithal, I don't think, to go through that again.
That's good.
Yes, that's good. Okay, so hey, Diecast, what did you do this week?
I reviewed Power of the Primes Jazz, and I like him. But yeah, you should check it out. It's first Power of the Primes figure I reviewed because we had a poll on Twitter at Diecast2, and that's what people wanted to see the most, so that's why I reviewed first.
So what's up next?
What's up next is...
Dreadwind.
Dreadwind? Yeah.
Yes.
Probably.
I would love to have any of those toys.
Probably.
Same here. But...
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to get anywhere near a Target for the rest of this year.
Probably for the best.
So, man. Okay. So, you remember you can get this episode and all the show notes and everything at tfradio.net/546. 546. Send us an email, contact@tfradio.net. Go to tfradio.net and click on the Contact Us button. You can leave us voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And we also accept text there. And I think we'll probably try to have a rhythm where we catch up on that stuff like every third episode. because, you know, we've almost gone 2 hours this episode already.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And we are on Instagram at TF Podcast. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And I just put up a new version of my website at briankilby.com. You can find my podcast and a blog that I haven't updated in 3 years there.
So what's so new about it?
It's not incorporated into tfradio.net anymore.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's completely separate. I'm trying to break out some of the shows that don't make sense at tfradio.net. Because, you know, I do that Happy Day in Wilkes in character, so it's kind of weird when I share it and it goes to tfradio.net, which is obviously not something that I just threw together in 5 minutes. So, the new site, I threw together in 5 minutes. So, there you go. Chris, you're on Twitter at ChrisRTXV.
And on Flickr.
Yeah. Gosh, your Flickr is awesome.
Thanks. I haven't put anything new up there in a little bit because video production.
So, yeah, definitely follow Chris on Flickr, flickr.com/.
Or at least bookmark it.
Or at least bookmark it, flickr.com/ChrisRTXV.
And, of course, I do have a bunch of videos up this week on T-Formers TV on YouTube. And there will be galleries coming to tformers.com as soon as I'm done filming video, because my studio space can either be for video or photos, not both at once.
Yeah. Okay. Diecast, you.
You can follow me on YouTube at RFC Reviews. You can check out that jazz video. You can also follow me on Twitter at Diecast2 and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Matt.
No.
Melvar, M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R.
Exactly.
That's three L's and two R's.
Don. Correct.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Rob?
I'm on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs, and on YouTube at Flailthroughs.
John?
I am that John D everywhere.
And our buddy Rob Springer, who is not here, but who should be. We miss John. We miss Rob. He is on Twitter at Robo Rob Springer, and you can visit
Robo Rob Springer.
Robo Rob, Robo Rob. It's the same thing.
No, one is his name
and one is not. Thanks, Doc. Okay, I'm Dr. Pulaski now. Okay, so you can
stay away from all the elevators, Brian.
Yes.
Was Rob busy this week? I noticed there wasn't the being awesome.
He took this week off. He'll be back this coming weekend.
Holiday vacation.
Yeah. And he is also at zonebase.org. I really love Zonebase. So I love Rob's personality in his writing. So it's a great place to go. And that's it.
I love Rob's personality in general.
I do too. We all
coolest guy to hang out with.
God, yeah. I wish he was back. Rob, you need to quit your job and just come back to the show.
Quit your job and just be here all the time.
Yeah, that would be great.
Work.
We would love that.
Okay, but would that be great for us or torture for him?
No, he loves us.
Porque no los dos.
Exactly. Okay, so that's it. People out there, hope if you listen to this before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving. If you listen to it after, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back.
If you're listening
to
this during Thanksgiving, I'm sorry you need to escape from your family so bad.
You know, but we understand.
I miss just watching, like, I miss watching stuff on Thanksgiving. Like, there's a marathon of Planet of the Apes on Sci-Fi Channel one year, and I sat down and watched every single one.
Actually, yeah, I remember one year when they did that, I did the same thing.
And even the TV show that they made into made-for-TV movies, I watched that too.
Man. Well, at least the Mystery Science Theater 3000 marathon is back, even though you have to stream it now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I'm making my own movie marathon tomorrow with the English dub of the original Gundam movies.
Oh, very nice. Cool.
I will say this. One of my favorite things, like a made-for-TV movie that was based off a cinematic series, the Shaft made-for-TV movies were awesome.
I didn't even know there were any.
I didn't either. They were on TNT or something years and years ago, and they were great. Okay, sorry. We'll see you later. Have a good one. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, what are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?